Blog Talk Radio.
Use all of your courage in Jesus to overcome. Believe there is no circumstance that can defeat you in your purpose to accomplish anything in your life. You got to believe it though, brother.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to believe. Come on.
the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Shalom, saints. Can you all hear me? If you can hear me, give me 10s in the chat for 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, please. Let me know how I'm coming in. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Can you hear me, saints? Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Josh. I see that 10. Hallelujah. All right, I guess we can roll then. We got 1 10. Okay, so this is our older Brother Willie. Hallelujah. All right, got some 10s. Okay, praise Yah. Well, bless you all, saints. I hope you all had a wonderful Sabbath yesterday. It was definitely a beautiful word from the shepherd, from Pastor Muir preaching to us. It was always wonderful for the men of Yah to bring us the word, sheep being fed. Hope everyone took the word to heart, the Most High's word enter into our hearts, minister to us, cut us, prick us. You know, those words are the words of life. Hallelujah. Well, if you missed the Sabbath service yesterday, I would advise you to go back and listen to that. Pastor Muir preached on the spirit of Saul. Hallelujah. All righty. You know, thanks. I'm sorry about the last time I was on. With blog talk and all its technical difficulties. You know, I stayed here for a good while trying to figure out if it was something that I did wrong. But it was just blog talk. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast sometimes with technology. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yep, do thank you all for being here tonight. All right. I guess we're going to get to it. Hallelujah. All right. Brother Josh, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We'll read verses 34 through 39. You know, I was talking to a saint, a brother, and hold on, let me get there. This sums up what he's dealing with. But you know, you just never know what life's gonna hold for you in any situation. You know, sometimes we think we know, but you just don't always know. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight, and you know, just gotta take all the challenges as they come. Hallelujah. All right. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, this is the Messiah talking. This is Jesus. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his stake and falleth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and shall lose his life. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth it for my sake shall find it. Excuse me. I didn't know the situation this brother's dealing with. And he's finding out that verse 36 is true. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. And yeah, he's going through a bit of a situation. I hope it all, you know, works out. But, you know, I told him, you know, and he's willing too. But I told him, you have to be willing to suffer loss. So, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. Sometimes you come in with a, people come in married and they end up divorced, and so another family stay together. So it just depends on where that sword falls. You know, you cut off from some of your natural family members, you know, your brothers, sisters. I know I had to cut, mine got cut off, you know, family. Hadn't seen them in over, oh, geez, sorry. I had to think about it for a second. About at least 25 years. Something like that. Don't miss me. Hallelujah. Because who is my mother? Who is my father? My brother? Who's your brother? Who's your sister? Who's your mother? But they that do, the will of your father, my father, our father, which is in the Shemaim. Yeah, we have these natural relations. You know, they, if your family's, you know, not hindering you serving y'all and you communicate with them, hey, that's fine. But don't let them get in the way of stopping you from serving y'all. Well, you know, hey, well, why don't you come to the family dinner instead of going to Sabbath first? Or, you know, you just come stay over here with us. You know, I know you got your feast days, but, you know, you can come. We got a family reunion. Why don't you come see Grandma? You ain't seen her in 10 years. She about to die. You know, Passover coming up, that's a good excuse for some people to lay out. Hey, I can't make it to the feast. Grandma needs. No, let's obey Yah. Because you can't love your father or your mother, or your son or your daughter, anything more than Yah. And what's the whole duty of man? To fear Yah and keep his commandments. So let's do our duty. Let's serve our Yah. Forget about those that want to keep us from being obedient. And I had a scripture also pertaining to that situation with that brother. Just wanted to read this one. I got not. Anyway, my son, if thou come to serve Yahweh, this is Ecclesiasticus chapter 1. Prepare thy soul for temptation. Set thy heart aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of trouble. So prepare for temptation. And let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Start at verse 12, Brother Josh. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of Yah resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, people get, you know, your family members get mad at you. All you talk about is that Jesus. You just want to serve your Yah. That's all you worry about, your faith, you know, all the stuff they throw at you. You know, throw it up. But, you know, but at the end of the day, hey, look, we have to be saved. We don't come in possession of that pearl of great price. Any of you saints willing to give up Jesus for your family members? How about Brother Will? You out there on that boat, brother? Wouldn't it just be easy just to be a heathen out there with your shipmates? Give up Jesus and just, you know, go run the excess to riot with them? Now, you love your Yah. My brother Willie loves Yah. He's not going to be tempted to even fool with that, to walk away from Jesus. For what? For this vain life? Nah. Nah, hallelujah. So praise y'all, saints. We're going to serve the Most High with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. And like the song says, the old song says, I've been running for Jesus a long time. I ain't tired yet. Hallelujah. Now, damn shame, right? So tired, I want to go back to my natural family. You know, what did Jesus say? You put your hand in the plow and look back. You're not fit. But, you know, many people do look back for their family, natural family, or for the life that they used to have. Is that the fiery trial that's trying some of you out there, saints? You looking back? You getting tempted? These thoughts coming to your mind? Satan tugging on you? You know, the God of this world? Got his demons whispering in your ear? hey, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. You know, the things you used to do, things you used to love, the things that the Most High delivered you from. Why don't you go back to that? You know, you used to have fun doing that. You know, while he's promising you liberty, the wicked one, or your wicked family members, friends that you used to have, call you up, hey, you know, let's go to the bar tonight, man. Or even a wicked brother that's tempted, he wants to say, man, look, let's go on Pornhub. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. And, you know, tomorrow we die. Again, from Sirach 2:1, my son, if I come to serve Yahweh, prepare thy soul for temptation. Set thy heart aright and constantly endure. And make not haste in time of trouble. But, you know, set that heart aright. You got to have your heart fixed. Like David said, my soul's indicted in a good matter. Like I said, you say, Brother Willie, I love my Yah too much. See, Brother Willie's soul, his heart's indicted in a good matter. He can't turn back. He ain't going to turn back. Jesus plus nothing. If he got to go by himself, he gone. Keep running hard, brother. Hallelujah. All you saints, Sister Brittany, Sister Nanette, and those of you that will be listening later, hallelujah, keep running for Jesus. Don't let the temptations knock you off the path. We just don't think it's strange when the fiery trial comes. I mean, yeah, we all do. Like my brother I was talking to, you know, he's thinking it's strange. You know, where is all this coming from? Oh, Satan coming, he coming to make war. He's seeking whom we can devour. At any given time. You know, I did my best to encourage him, strengthen him the best I could. You know, it could be a painful situation, you know, losing your family. That's not easy. But many men have done it. He's not the only one that's going through it, if it does fall through. Now, hey, he can talk to Teacher Shane, he can talk to Elder Dove, and many of you brothers out there too. Sisters out there too. And that soil comes, it cuts. And then you find out where you at. Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Will. Praise y'all. Hallelujah. All right. All right, Brother Josh, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Bless you, my faithful co-host. All right, let me get there. All right. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is Jesus after he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. And that's a legit temptation, though. You think about it. You ain't ate for 40 days. The devil's saying, hey, turn that into bread. Hey, that's tempting. That wasn't no easy thing for Jesus to walk away from. That's a, hey, man, look, I'm starving. Jesus, problem two, Satan said it. His belly was growling hard. But what did Jesus do, though? Hey, hit him back with that word. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. Say, that's my bread. That's what's going to keep me alive. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of Yah, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Say, come on, Jesus, just jump on down. Cast yourself down. The Most High's angels got you. You ain't going to fall. You ain't going to die. They definitely going to get you since you're the son of, you know, if you truly the son of God. Come on, man. You know they got you. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh Elohim. Still, again, he's getting tempted, though, getting tested. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down, if you will fall down and worship me. Well, the devil said, oh, I got him for sure now. This man just won't, you know, okay, okay. Number one attempt failed. Number two attempt failed. Sure, he's going to bite off on this one because all men have bitten off on this. Everybody want to rule the world. You know, you look at all the wicked movers and shakers behind the scenes with the WEF and the Bilderbergers and, you know, all these, you know, all these wicked elite men and women. Hey, they don't sold their soul up to the devil. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. But you know, that was a great taste, a great test for the Messiah. At any given time, saints, we're getting hit as well with temptations from the wicked one. Now, we ain't got the devil coming to us. We got some of these minions. Hey, you know, why don't you take that Snicker bar sitting on the table that you ain't supposed to have? Well, think that evil thought about your brothers that hadn't done anything to you. You know, just rebelled against your father's children, you know, all the different temptations from everybody from A to Z. You know, husbands get wives get the husbands. You know, just every facet of life. You know, you can name it. We know temptations come in some kind of way. I mean, watch my children sometimes. I tell them not to do something or tell them to do something. You know, sometimes you can see them in that valid decision. Well, do you know, the devil's sitting there speaking to them, especially with things you tell them not to do. And you see them, man, I really want to do that. And it, you know, you see them itching there. Man, if I do this, I know I'm going to get toe up, so I better not. But I'm tempted. But I'm glad to see them overcome. Because I said, well, hey, you crossed that line. That's direct defiance of rebellion. I'm going to have to meet that with some serious force. That way the next time the devil comes speak to you, you'll definitely not take heed to his word. Hallelujah. But you know, we are the children of Yah as well. Don't think the house of time is not going to be tempting you, saints, because he will. If you ain't never been tempted, don't worry, it's coming. If you ain't never been tried, don't worry, it's coming. Sooner or later. But hallelujah. But you can't overcome. Jesus overcame. But look what he used, though. He used the word. And like Pastor Dallas always told us, make sure you get that word in your heart. If you don't have the word, you don't have a weapon. And that's what Jesus used. You can't just go run and pray because you're getting temptation. No, get that word, be able to overcome your enemy with it. That's your sword. That's your life that you can, that's the life that you can use. You know, what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. That's actually life coming against that death that's trying to kill you. Beat that devil back. He's throwing his thoughts, his temptations. You hit him back with that word. And what happened after Jesus did it? The devil left him. Verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. And then what happened? And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. angels are ministering spirits to us who are the heirs of Yah, heirs of the King. In many ways, these angels are ministering to us as well. You know, we bind and loosen spirits. You know, we bind and we loosen. Who's doing that work? That's the angelic realm work. I know it's invisible now, so some of you can't believe unless you actually see something. But when you have to bind these demons in faith in the name of Jesus, ask the Father to send angels to bind these demons that's doing different things. You know, entering in that spiritual warfare, you're doing it by faith. You're commanding under the authority of Jesus, commanding the angels to do their job. You know, sending them directly targeting them against the enemy. You know, by the command you give, you know, you're getting choked in your bed at night. You know, hey, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know, any of you had that sleep paralysis ever happened to you? I have. I've had demons attack me in my sleep. You know, getting choked, getting hemmed up, just whatever they, you know, trying to bind me, whatever. I wake up and I can't move. I'm like, man, what the hell? What's going on? You know, and the person trying to speak with your mouth, you can't, you know, this is what happened with me. I couldn't say nothing. And then once I realized I couldn't say anything, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, okay, let me just start saying Jesus in my mind. As I was saying that, then boom, that spirit, you know, the spirit let me go. And then I start really rebuking after that, and I could start speaking. You know, and there's many times, you know, many things like that. But, you know, you got to do it in faith, though. You have to believe. And I can tell you, there's other times, too. One other attack I had, I remember this one, too. You know, I actually felt that was in my flesh for real. So like, this demon attacked me. And I felt like something had headbutted. And I was asleep, too, when that attack came in sudden, like, ah, and I was, ah, crap, what? You know, I could move when that happened, though, but I mean, I had like a headache for me. I felt that literally in my flesh. You know, and I thought binding and loosening fire on that devil and sending angels with swords to go cut him up and, you know, get him out of my bedroom. But of course, you know, if the devils know you can't, if you're scared to fight back, don't worry, they're coming. So don't be scared of them. Don't be afraid of them, saints. You have power over all the power of it. Hallelujah. That includes sleep paralysis and everything else that attacks you. You know, fears, doubts, unbelief, addictions, bondages, everything you got going on. There, you know, the power of the Most High can deliver you and free you. But when you get spiritual attacks, like even your house and stuff, hey, re-anoint your house. Rebuke these spirits. And also, you know, hey, entreat other saints to pray for you too as well. Like we heard our shepherd Pastor Dow 2 weeks ago, asking for saints to be praying for him and his family because of spiritual happenings, things happening. So be ready to go to war at all times. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to, all right, Brother Josh, let's go to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8, let me get there. I'm going to read this out of the Septuagint. For the end concerning the winepress, a psalm of David. O Yah, our Yah, how wonderful is thy name in all the earth. For thy magnificence is exalted above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest put down the enemy and avenger. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, wait a minute, I gotta get out of step 2 again. Hold on. Hebrews chapter 2. Right, we'll start at verse 5. Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Of course, saints, don't forget. Go back and read all these. Go back and read everything in context. You know, there's a lot of reading to do if you read it. If I read everything, you know, we'd be here all night. So I don't want to keep y'all too long. But you know, of course, just go back and read everything so that you get a good understanding of it all in context. But in one certain place, testified, saying, okay, so it's talking about David, over in Psalm chapter 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of Yah, should taste death for every man. Now that's what the king did, right? He tasted death for every man. What became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now you think about that for a minute. Now the captain of our salvation is being made perfect through suffering. And of course, you know, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him too. You know, it says, for both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, in the midst of the assembly. But he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. And you go back to Psalms 8. Hold on. Let me go back there again. In verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Now, other translations don't have it this way. So don't have that. Let me read to you the King James here. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And over in the common English one, it reads, with praises from children and from tiny infants, you have built a fortress. It makes your enemies silent, and all who turn against you are left speechless. But praise is coming from the children of Yah, is what we're getting to in that. One second. Let's go to continuing. We're going to be in Hebrews for a little bit here. A couple. Yeah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. I'm going to come back to Hebrews anyway. Matthew 21, verse 16. So let's start at verse 12. And Jesus went to the temple of Yah and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You know, so what's going on in the temple here? All this crap going on except what needs to be going on. But then after Jesus did that, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. And get that. They saw the wonderful things that he did. What? When he healed the blind and the lame. Manifesting the power of Yah. They sore displeased. Hey, what? This man going to take away our places in our nation. That's what they're scared of. They're going to lose their place. So they're not happy. But Yah's house supposed to be a house of prayer for all people. You got thieves in there, selling crap, but the work of Yah ain't being done. And he says to them, "Here, start what these say." And he said unto them, verse 16. And he said unto them, "Here, start what these say." Let's get that's the chief priest saying that. And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" That's why I went to the Septuagint version. In fact, and I found that word praise in the scripture, as opposed to in the King James version and all the other newer versions, except for the Common English one. Yeah, Common English version, but. And then the reason he left them and went out to the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. All right. But we should be praising the Most High. We're children of Yah, right? And there's one scripture, what's it say? I ain't gonna tip my tongue, I just lost it. And Jesus was talking. Well, hey, if they don't praise you, then the rocks will cry out. Anybody want a rock to take their place? You got to praise the Most High in you? Don't be silent. Don't let a rock take your place. It's time to shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Give me 1 second, Saint. Make sure I wrote down the right thing. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Of course, it's talking about Jesus. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Yah continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, how's that song going? We bring the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise. We don't have to offer up bulls and goats anymore. Jesus is our sacrifice. So all the sacrifice we got to bring now is praise. And some folks don't even want to do that. The praise is coming for the upright. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of our Yah. That's what should be in us, that sacrifice, that praise. Why? Because of what he's done for us. Because if Jesus is our Passover, our sacrifice, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. Of course, we know that's us. That's Israel. He did that for Israel, for his people. Well, he came to his own, of course. And his own received him not. But to as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become the sons of Yah. Hallelujah. So shouldn't be no problem with the sacrifice of praise. There's a whole lot. You can travel with that anywhere and everywhere. That's easier than taking a goat, a bull, turtle doves. But you do have to have some gratitude within you. If you're thankful for what the Most High has done, you're thankful for the blood of Jesus. You won't have no problem giving up that sacrifice to praise. You won't have no problem saying, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus." But what does your hallelujah consist of? We heard Teacher Shane break that down. Is it gratitude, true gratitude in your heart towards the Most High? Towards Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for us, for you, for me? The one that died alone? Took our sins and iniquities on him? The him who knew no sin? He became sin for us? And how dare any of us not be willing to give him the praise that's due him? No, I'm going to praise him. The praise is coming for the upright. And the only reason any of us are upright is because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Tell you what, let's go to Hebrews. Let me go there. I got distracted. No, I tell you what, let's go to Luke. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Well, Josh, Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Hope y'all doing all right, saints. I want to afflict none of y'all, telling you to keep praise the Most High now. But praise is coming for the upright. Hey, if you can't praise, you got some serious bondage. I remember hearing that years ago when I first came to the assembly. You know, when I met Pastor Dow and the saints, and we had a woman here. It was Pastor Rice's wife. For those of you that remember Pastor Rice and his wife, he was a pastor, used to be with us. But anyway, when there was a, what was going on with her? I can't remember all the details now. It's been so long since I hadn't thought about that until now. But and I believe it was her that was having the issue. I don't know if after she, you know, had been out of the assembly and came back, or she was in the assembly. I mean, it's, you know, things are kind of, memories a little jumbled in my mind now. But I do remember having the conversation, we had a conversation afterwards. And I think it was her because she, you know, couldn't get no praise out or whatever. You know, she had, you know, couldn't get no praise out of her. And I remember Pastor Rice saying that, you know, you got the person that, if the person can't praise the Most High, can't praise God, they got a serious bondage going on, a serious stronghold. And I never forgot that, because I remember, you know, when I first came, going back to, you know, my part, when I first came to the assembly, now I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. I grew up in the church that prayed, you know they used to worship and just have a shouting good time. You know, and so I was used to seeing people shouting and dancing and stuff in church. And when the Most High brought me out of darkness, saved my wretched soul, I didn't go to the church I grew up in. I ended up going to a church in the city of Norfolk. I lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Norfolk is like the city right next to it. Probably I don't know how long it takes to drive there on the interstate, but not far, like 20 minutes maybe, something like that. But anyway, this was a black church that I went to, Baptist. It's one of them churches, like you heard Pastor say it, but it's one of them churches where if you clap your hands, everybody looking at you. And if you shout hallelujah, everybody turn around and look at you. And I remember going there, you know, that praise and worship was so dead. You know, sing those old Baptist songs. I'm trying to think of one. Let's see. I can't even think of that song. Not necessarily anything wrong with the songs. I'm just trying to think. They just sing some of those old hymnals. But it was just as dead could be. I mean, no life and none of the praise. And I remember just being in there like, man, I'm new, you know. And I'm thinking, what the, you know, thinking to myself, man, what the hell wrong with these folks? You know, and I stopped went there for probably for a couple months, you know, but long enough to really get infected with their doctrine, though, unfortunately. You know, I wish I'd asked y'all a whole lot more things before I made moves had I had some sense. But anyway, their praise was so dead. The people were so stiff, you know, so robotic. Singing the songs, you know, you had no liberty to shout, clap your hands, nothing. Just sing the song, and that was it. And I remember wanting to say hallelujah. You know, I was just full of joy, just thankful to Jesus and everything. And I wanted to say hallelujah so bad, and I choked it down. I didn't say it, because I see folks, you know. The first time I went there, we wasn't praise. They didn't have, you know, it was like a Bible study. The first time I went to that church. And I think I kind of knew how stiff they were. But anyway, that Sunday when I did make it there, you know, because I worked on Sunday, couldn't always come to their services. But Sunday when I was there, and I wanted to say hallelujah so bad, and I didn't because I just knew how they were from that one time being there. Because somebody said something when the preacher was preaching. One time, everybody just kind of looked at them like, well, you shouldn't have said that, whatever the guy said. But anyway, it's pretty much just sit there and be quiet, don't say nothing. Just let the preacher give his dead sermon and then just leave. But anyway, I stayed there long enough to get infected with that spirit. So then when I came straightway, you know, they were lively. And I didn't know how to act. I'm like, man, after I left that church, it's been a while before I got me here, hooked up with the saints. You know, so I was out there on my own, and I still didn't, you know, I was singing songs, but I didn't know how to praise Most High with liberty anymore. You know, didn't have that. And when I started coming here, you know, just started, you know, seeing the saints dance and being free, finally, you know, now I was able to start being able to clap my hands and just sing and sing from my heart and, you know, put my soul into it and everything. And I tell you, it's so freeing to be able to, you know, to exercise the liberty to say thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, not worried about somebody looking at you. Somebody look at me now, I don't care. Hey, forget you. I ain't talking to you. I'm not talking to you anyway. I'm talking to you. I'm praising my Yah. Watch if you want to. Hallelujah. But that bondage, I know where the Most High brought me from that time. And now just being able to praise them and just give them that thanks, give them that worship that's due them, you know, without fear. Hey, somebody looking, hey, look, you know. But anyway, so for those of you that are bound and can't praise the Most High, I'm going to tell you, there's a limit. Just praise. Use that freedom. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Somebody watch, let them watch. Hallelujah. They just judge because they can't do it, because they can't worship God. They can't praise. Because they're not upright. Hallelujah. All right. Where was I going? Yeah, Matthew chapter. No. We're going to Luke 39, chapter 22, 39. And he came out. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You know, that's a hell of a statement. Call the Messiah. They just turn around and look at it and say, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. He said, hey, you guys come with me. And it wasn't all the disciples. You know, all of them came, but in some of the other accounts, you know, three of them went with them, Peter, James, and John. He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." But you see how Jesus was in agony praying earnestly, and he sweats were great drops of blood. What was going on there? He's resisting sin, even under, you know, resisting sin under blood. And how many of us have done that? Have resisted sin under blood? You know, if you know more of the scripture, more of the Bible, of these accounts, you know, this account in Luke don't cover it all. But of course, he woke up, and then he came from prayer and told him, "Hey, why y'all sleeping? Get up. Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." But you look at the Messiah, how, you know, how he really, when he's in that garden, he's getting it done. And of course, what was the biggest thing, though? Not my will, thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done, talking to the Father. Father, thou be willing to remove this cup from him. You know, he didn't want to be crucified. His flesh didn't want to be crucified. You know, but Jesus knew he had to go get that job done. And of course, when he's on the tree, on the stake, he said, "It's finished. Mission's accomplished." Then he gave up the ghost. But you look at his manner in that. And I want to go to. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews now. Let me get there first. Hebrews chapter 4. Chapter 4, let's see, starting at verse 14. Because it's talking about Jesus. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of Yah, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, see, looking at that, we can see the Most High, that the Messiah, he's our high priest now, and he knows exactly what we're dealing with. Now, we have a high priest, but we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, the things we're struggling with. He knows exactly what everybody is dealing with. "But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come bold unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, Jesus understands the struggle. He knows what we're dealing with. So that way we can come boldly. "Father, look, I don't sin. I'm messed up. Jesus, I need some help." You know, whatever the temptation is. You're addicted to pornography. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Get mercy. The blood can deliver. Jesus knows exactly what you're dealing with. Well, he didn't have porn back in his time. Jesus can deliver. Don't make no excuses for it. I don't see it with my own eyes. Help brothers get delivered from. Don't tell me. They came boldly to the throne of grace and got the help, obtained mercy, and got free from the bondage the enemy put them in. And they were desperate. Made an end of that sin. That sin became exceedingly sinful to them. And they were able to go to the Most High for the strength, repent, go to him to get the strength to cry out to him for the deliverance they needed. Godly sorrow working within them, so they ain't have to, so they don't have to repent again for this. You know how many people we want to see, hey, I repent. Yep, they're still right back in. I repent again, and they're still back in. But we got a high priest. He can deliver. He understands. Keep going now. All right, one of the verse, Hebrews chapter 5, Brother Josh. We're going to be here for a while. You can just go ahead and post the whole chapter in there. We'll bounce around maybe. I may just take my time a little bit with this. And again, we're still talking about Jesus now, the most, the high priest, the Messiah. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also was compassed with infirmity. The priests of the Aaron order, the Levites, that's what he's talking about. Take it from among men. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. That infirmity. He can pass the same infirmity. Hey, I'm just like y'all. I'm struggling too. Verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of Yah, as was Aaron. He just going to be self-anointed, self-appointed. You ain't going to take that honor unto yourself. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. You see, Jesus didn't take the honor unto himself. But the Most High said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We'll key in on verse 6. As he saith also another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, of course, thanks. I ain't gonna break this down on the order of Melchizedek. I just want to highlight something here. Teacher Shane has done an excellent job preaching this, teaching this. So you go back, listen to things Teacher Shane has taught on that. That's your homework. Go in the archives and go find it. If you don't know where it's at, go find it. But it ended. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let me back up here again. Verse 6. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This I want you to see. Now, verse 7, this is the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, are we in the days of our flesh, saints? Let me slow this down. We're in the days of our flesh now. That Melchizedek, now we know who that was, right? That's Yeshua. That's Jesus, the Messiah. Now, if you don't like the name of Jesus, I'm too bad. I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus. In the days of his flesh, we'd offer prayers and supplications. This is what the order of Melchizedek is doing. This is the order. You're not coming in with the sacrifice with the bulls and the goats after the Levitical priesthood. That's what Aaron and them did. This is the order. This is the order of Melchizedek now. For the days of his flesh, we'd offer prayers, supplication with strong crying and tears. This is our order. This is what we do now. Melchizedek, we're kings and priests under the Most High now. We're just like Jesus, just like the Messiah now. We're offering up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that's able to save us from death, same Messiah, same Yeshua, same Jesus from death, was hurting that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of Yah as high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we're walking in that same order. That's why I emphasize, in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, go back again, he had offered up prayers and supplications. This is what the order of Melchizedek is offering up. You, me, prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that's able to save him from death and was heard that he feared. And that's the same pattern we walk in there. And we're sons as well, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by things which he suffered. Isn't that what we're doing too? Learn obedience by things which we suffer? Now some of us are hard at. You got to suffer a whole lot before the obedience comes. I can't tell you how many things I've suffered before I finally got it. But hey, the revelation came. Oh, man, I'm going to stop doing that. Shoot, I'm tired of getting my butt whooped. And of course, down to verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And we're walking with Jesus say, hey, you're going to be my disciple. Take up your stake and follow me. And we're going to have to obey him. We got to obey him. I know it's a tough thing for us hearing that word obey. That's a cuss word. That's a cuss word. I know. But obedience is better than sacrifice. It's all about obedience. You love me? Keep my command. Do those things. Why do you call me master? Do not those things that I command, Jesus said. So come on. We're going to obey. We're going to obey just like we're told to. Do everything that we're supposed to do. Being obedient sons and daughters. We're going to obey his voice. When the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So come on. How many times have you heard the voice of the Most High? That's something simple. Something that we probably, a lot of us disobey all the time. Tell me how long, saints. Come on. Oh, let me go to this chat. Hold on. All right, Sister Zion, I want to pick on you. Sister Brittany, Brother Timothy, Brother Willie. How many times have you ever heard the Holy Spirit tell you to go pray and you didn't do it? Put 10 in the chat if you disobey. I'll give you a second. You too, Brother Josh. I'm going to type it in there too. Oh, well, my chat ain't working. Sorry, I can't type it in, saints. But put 10 in the chat if you didn't obey. Wow, just two people didn't obey. Well, the rest of y'all too holy. Dang. I'm messing with y'all. That's what we all didn't obey in, though. At some point in time, we haven't obeyed that. Now, how many blessings that we hold against, take away from ourselves, or things that we might have been saved from if we just would have went and prayed when the Holy Spirit told us to? Or go read your Bible. Or just do this or do that. Or how about like the Holy Spirit, hey, go over there and encourage that saint over there. Oh, thank you, Brother Josh. Put that in there for me, too. Go encourage that saint over there. Well, Father, I'm afraid they won't receive. Hey, he told you to go do something. Go do it. Just obey his voice. Yeah, I'm with you, Brother Willie. If I only knew. Yeah. Now, if I only obeyed, like, man, Father, I just would obey. You know, because that's, you know, you see, let's say the Father could send you to a saint that's like, that's teeter-totting on the edge, that just might need somebody to talk to before they fell away, or just need that strength before they went and did something, you know. Let's say they're going to go do something good, but just need somebody to encourage them while they're trying to even get the strength to go do that. But you didn't do it, and Father sent somebody else that would obey him to go do it. He said, hey, I wanted you to do this job was appointed for you, but just in case you didn't do it, I had a backup because my will will be done. So when we hear his voice, let's obey him. I can't tell you how many times when I have obeyed, you know, hey, I've been blessed. When I haven't obeyed, hey, that rod hurts. You know, saints, it's just, it is what it is. But let's just, hey, we have to start to hear, when we hear his voice, to do what he commands us to do. Just obey his, you know, obey him. Obey his spirit. Let's make that a commitment. Just say, hey, look, I'm striving to obey what the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and the Father tell me, you know, give me direction on what I need to do. Because most of us, Father, just tell me what to do. Show me what I need to do. And he shows that we don't do. Or he says, well, go talk to so-and-so, and they're going to tell you what I want you to do. But then they tell us, and we don't know to do it. You know, which one is it? We can't be schizophrenic with that. But anyway, but, you know, we do learn obedience by things that we suffer. And I don't want time to. Holy Spirit want me to give me some direction to say something to a person. I did not want to do it. I said, Father, I ain't talking. I ain't saying nothing to them. No, I'm not doing it. And I will tell you, you know, the Father, he don't argue. The Holy Spirit don't argue with you. The Father don't argue with you. That's at least, I don't know. Maybe some of y'all, he do. I don't know. He don't argue with me. I know after pretty much, like he opens his office door, tells me what he wants me to do, and he slams it in my face. I'm come up there and say, hey, I don't want, you know, while I'm trying to get my word out, boom, the door shuts in my face. It's like, I told you what to do. I ain't got time for the rest of your mess. Just go on back. But I know, especially this one time, he wanted me to say something to somebody. It was a heathen I worked with, too, and I knew they were very resistant, just a rebellious type person. And I was like, Father, I ain't saying nothing to this person. But anyway, this happened more than once, not with just that, but even with saints too. And I'll tell you, whenever I'm like, I'm not going to do it, it's literally, I feel his hand on me or something on me that feels like a billion-pound weight. And I try to hold out, not do it for as long as I can, but like, man, look, I got to get this off me. Whatever it is he does, it just crushes all that kick out of it. It crushes it out of me anyway. I don't know, maybe some of y'all are stronger. I don't know, but hallelujah! I tell you, he makes me willing to obey. I'm like, all right, Father, I'm gonna do it. Hallelujah! I'll do it. Then just take this off me, get this off me, leave me alone. I'm good. Now you know you look at Jonah. You know how he ran when the Most High told him to go prophesy to Nineveh. You know Jonah ran and everything. Feel good when you run. You think you're gonna get away till you end up in that fish. You know, Jonah was doing good until he got caught. Like, oh, wait a minute, I'm inside the fish now. What? You know, of course, all the storm and all that stuff. Y'all know the account, but once Jonah got out of that fish, what did he do? 3 days journey, he went to Nineveh, and he thought, hey, look, I got to get this burden off me. I ain't going back in that fish again. But after he repented and cried out, and y'all delivered him out of it. But anyway, let's go on now. So though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So as we're going on our walk, we're going to learn obedience by things which we suffer as well, learn from some of the things that we encounter. You know, like that brother I was talking to. I'm not going to say he's disobedient, but the situation he's going through is going to teach him something, though. I mean, just he just going to be willing to suffer loss. Or maybe that's what he suffered. He's going to have to suffer. That's what we get him more obedient. Hey, I'm about to find me a woman that will serve y'all with me and not raise all this hell. You know, many of brothers have learned that. And some of the women have learned that through the chastisement they got. They learned to be obedient by things they suffered after they left the house. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. But hallelujah. And verse 10, called of Yah and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And you know, let me stop here for a minute. You know, now this, let me see something. Hold on. Let me go here. Yep, just like that. That one too. That one too. Give me a second, Saints. I'm checking something. Okay. All right, let me go back here. Let me see if this one has it. Wow, all of them did. All right, now, if you're in Hebrews chapter 5 and you get to verse 10, you see that warning against apostasy, like headline in the black letters in between verses 10 and 11? Now you see the context of the scripture. He's talking about Melchizedek. But now then they put their warning against apostasy. But concerning whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Talking about Melchizedek. For indeed, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first elements of the words of Elohim, and you have become such as need milk and not solid food. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice to discern both good and evil. Oh, Brother Josh, I was reading in the Scriptures version, that verse, the rest of that chapter. And definitely one thing they'll teach you to discern between good and evil is suffering. You know, off of verse 14, strong weak belong to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh, did not forget this scripture. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter. Wait a minute. Give me 1 second here, Saints. Let me get that. Let me look at that. Show me what I'm looking. Okay, yeah, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me get that real quick. Tell you what, let's start at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh, King James says the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Master Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, bringing the sacrifice of praise. You know, if you don't have the Spirit of Yahweh within you, how are you going to make spiritual songs and melody in your heart? You can't do it. And giving thanks to him. Giving thanks to Yah for all things. Always, you know, giving thanks always for all things unto Yah. I mean, how are you going to do that if you don't have the Spirit within you? You know, but going to verse 19 again, be not drunk with wine, where there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's many out there that deny the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you. No matter what anyone says, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you ain't have no problem. Once you get topped off, you ain't have no problem speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Why? Because praise is coming to the upright. He will put that in your heart. And what's in your heart will come out your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's praise in the heart, it should come out. And especially when we come into the presence of the Most High, you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and into his courts with praise. You know, what's the song? I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that Yah has made, and I will rejoice for he has made me glad. So if you're not filled with Spirit, I can see why you don't want to make melody in your heart, singing unto the one who saved you, the one who washed you in his blood. Because you're spiritually dead. But if you're a lively stone, hallelujah, you're going to praise him. You're going to glorify him. What about that man that got healed at the temple gate? Silver, what the apostles say, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give to you. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And what that man do? Jumped up, leaping and praising, dancing, thanking Yah, praising Yah. But when the Spirit healed him, he ain't had no choice but to do that. Most High brought that forth out of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But again, we are, let me go back there. We are sons of Yah now. So we can bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And we're priests after the order of Melchizedek. And again, I'm going to read that verse to you again. Verse 7, chapter Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I'm starting at 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, when the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of Yah, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So what does the order of Melchizedek do? What do we do? In this flesh? Look, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, weak. But we're going to, in this situation, we can engage in spiritual warfare as well, too. But we're going to offer prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him. If they will save us from death. You know, we heard that we fear Yah. You know, we obey him too. But that strong cry, that crying out. You know, with Jesus in that garden, he wasn't just, you know, praying, oh, now lay me down to sleep. That little, no, Jesus in that garden crying out. That you know, the written account ain't really painting the picture like it needs to be painted. I mean, and he's sweating great drops of blood, resisting sin under blood. Which none of us have done. You know, the however many verses that was, not to find it. That don't give you the true account of what the Messiah was going through. But he went through it all for us, those things. But, you know, you think about it, as far as prayer goes. I mean, you know, you get in there, you get in the prayer. Especially getting into crying out and stuff. What there's an old saying. Yeah, I remember people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I think how Pastor Dolly used to talk about, you know, some folk getting ugly. You know, the pastor's testimony of receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, he said he's a crying, sobbing, snotty mess. And you know, because, you know, receiving salvation, everything is a train wreck. When you really, your spirit gets broken, you get tore up. You may look one way, but if you're done, you don't look like you've been through something. When you get up and pray, you got snot hanging down from your face, tears all over the place. You know, you ain't so pretty after you had an encounter with the Most High. You know why the Most High want us all to get ugly? Because he don't want no flesh trying to glory in his presence. Your flesh ain't gonna glory in his presence. My flesh ain't gonna glory in his presence. So hey, let's not be. Ain't nothing wrong with crying out when you need to. When you get in your prayer closet, get in there and cry out. That's what the order of Melchizedek does. And the people that are too proud to do that, they get what they put into. I'll just say this much: you can't cry out, you ain't gonna be hurt. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Start at verse 1. So give me one second. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Yah. Now, of course, thanks, you can go on and read the rest of that, but just focusing on verses 1 and 2 there. We're not going to live the rest of our time in the lust of the flesh. We're not going to live the rest of our time on this earth, in this earthly tabernacle, in the lust of the flesh of men, but to the will of Yah. You know, we're not going to walk in that carnal mind with this is enemy to Yah. We're going to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, being made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ, and we're going to do the will of Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, the Most High's commandments aren't grievous. You know, his way is not grievous. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. So it ain't hard. It's not hard to serve the Most High, saints. It's not hard at all. We got a ready and a made-up mind. Hey, the Most High God, we'll submit to his will. His will be done, not ours. And everything else take care of itself in time. I'm not saying we're not doing our part, but we don't have to make it. This journey don't have, it's not that hard that we can't complete. Yeah, we're gonna suffer. Yeah, we're gonna have tribulations. We're gonna have pain. We're gonna have sorrows still. But at the end, we're gonna receive a crown. So it's gonna be worth it when we see Jesus. Hallelujah. But don't think it's strange when the fiery trial comes to try. All right, saints, that's all I got for you tonight. I do bless you. Thank you for your time tonight. For those of you that are here in the chat, I do love you. Bless you all. Those of you that are going to be listening later, bless you all as well. Thank you for your time. Remember to keep the men of y'all in prayer, especially keep Pastor Dahl in prayer while he's on vacation. You know, pray the Most High will bring him back home safely. You know, pray for Pastor Muir, Pastor Corey, Pastor Rufus. Bless you all, pastors, as well, all the elders, and one another, saints. Let's keep each other lifted up. Let's keep binding and loosing, you know, doing our welfare prayers, warning against the enemy, breaking curses and sending them back. And I just pray the Most High will keep you all encouraged. And don't forget to go back and listen to Sabbath service if you hadn't, and just take it all in. And continue to get your hearts to pray for Passover as we're coming to it. Let the word cleanse you. And seek the Most High to get cleansed. Then we'll purge out the old leaven so that you can be a new lump. And we take the Passover with a pure heart, being clean. Hallelujah. Well, I do bless you all in the mighty name of Jesus. Shalom. Shalom.